The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. A little bit of a taste of our conversation with Patrick Byrne. To listen to the entire episode, including some of my conversation with Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, go to charliekirk.com and follow the members tabs. And I encourage all of you to get involved with Turning Point USA. That is tpusa.com. We have some very exciting campus tour stops coming up this fall. We have AmFest coming at amfest.com, America Fest in Phoenix, Arizona. Start a high school or college chapter to join our nationwide educational movement at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is making hope happen on the front lines, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Also, consider becoming a member of our program. You could do that at charliekirk.com and follow the cues. It's affordable for all income levels. We are adding exclusive interviews, ad-free episodes, and more. That is charliekirk.com. And click on that member button and follow the cues. I love hearing from all of you, so email me freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go. Go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are here with a man I admire, and we've met once before, I think, in Naples, Florida.
Yes.
And Patrick Byrne, welcome.
What an honor, Charlie, to meet a great young entrepreneur such as yourself.
Thank you. I don't get called that very often, but it's a label I will accept.
Well, you've built I've read and heard about the history of Turning Point. Let's walk through it quickly. You were thinking of going to college, but you took a gap year and just started.
Yeah,
this.
It's been 11 gap years, and you know, the context that's...
Hey, you better give this up. You got to go make something of yourself.
Well, you know, yeah, that's right. Someone says I got to go to college and I could really get my life together.
Right.
But no, it's interesting. The context when we started this was with the millennials were supposed to be the most progressive generation in history. Cultural revolution, bring forth the great leap forward. Obama was supposed to be the vessel. I grew up around it in the suburbs of Chicago. 200,000 people in Grant Park, you know, celebrating Obama. And so I saw that.
Chicago Jesus or something.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, he was a quasi-messianic figure. So when I started Turning Point in 2012, it seemed like an impossible project to turn millennials into a sensible generation. And, you know, there's a lot in between. 11 years later, millennials are about 50-50 conservative and liberal now. I'm not taking credit for all of it. We certainly have played a role in that. And that's a huge success story to share.
And I've read about how millennials have come back more conservative than
big
their
time.
Parents because they've seen the...
Yes.
Tragedy.
And so we've been just relentless, just doing our work, and it's paying off on the macro data, which is really exciting. But yeah, look, it's been 11 years of hustle and grit. And
right on.
Amazing.
Right on. Well, I understand that we see eye to eye on regarding the what needs to be done in the election.
Yes.
Tell me where your emphasis is
well,
on that.
Well, everyone has their role, right? And I love Mike Lindell and what he's focusing on. And I love trying to, you know, secure our elections and lower fraud. That's not my expertise or my calling. I don't have a law enforcement background or a cybersecurity background. I am good at grassroots organizing and getting a lot of people to do hard work over long periods of time.
Obviously.
And so I think our role to play can be in chasing ballots and finding low propensity voters and getting them to vote early and securely. And I'm not a big fan of early voting. I would get rid of it if I could, but I hate losing more. And I think my argument is the most fraudulent way of voting is not voting at all, meaning just staying at home and not even submitting a ballot. Mm-hmm. You're given the other side by definition. an advantage. So that's, we're going to be trying to create an army of ballot chasers in a couple of key states, hopefully maximize Republican turnout and play a little bit in that voting month that otherwise people haven't done.
I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you didn't see yourself on November 4th, 2020. But, you know, you're right to focus on, it's really six states that matter. You know, the logic of it is there are 3,000 counties in America. And on election day, we really don't have one election. We have 3,000 elections.
That's right.
And there's six of the, there are 13 swing states, and there are six of them where there's one city that is 2/3 of the vote of the state.
That's right.
So if they just cheat in those six counties, you can flip six swing states and flip the Electoral College. So really those six states are
it's everything. And so we're taking three out of the six because you can't do all six. You got to, so one's the state I live in Arizona, and then Wisconsin, a state I almost was raised in. I was raised in Northern Illinois, right on the border, so I know it really well. And then if we have the resources, Georgia, which I think is incredibly important.
Great. Well, we've been very active in Georgia,
yes,
too.
I know you have.
Garland Favorito and the voter GA and such. Well, it is amazing that anywhere we've dug in, you know, there's been far more has come to light from all these investigations. What they've done is they've blocked. You know, we always thought that elections were supposed to be transparent. They've made it very difficult for since election of 2020 to get at stuff. But slowly and surely, we've been grinding through and getting stuff in Georgia and Michigan.
Can you share what you've learned? Because you've been just after this.
Well, this all could have been solved in a week. We just needed to look at six hard drives in those six counties. And the fact that in five counties, they absolutely blocked us. And in the six, Maricopa, the Senate got a subpoena to see it. The county fought 6 months against the subpoena. And then the day they had to turn the equipment over, they deleted the database the night before. And in any normal world, that would all have convicted them already in the court of public opinion.
They do that a lot. Government agencies deleting of data.
Yeah.
If they have to ever be called to show it.
Well, here's a funny aspect of this. There's a, this hasn't gotten any publicity yet, but in the Postal Service has played a role in the election cheating. And you remember the federal agencies have a look back policy, a document retention policy. And typically it's 6 years, just like corporations. You retain every document for 6 years. In the Postal Service in April of 2020 got their policy changed to be 30 days. They ran 2020, got through the election, got past it, and then
that's
in
March
2020.
Who changed that? The Postmaster General?
I'm going to tell you that. Well, the Postmaster General.
Wasn't that Louis DeJoy or something, like Trump's guy?
He's not the issue. It's the, for a federal agency to change a rule, there's something called the Administrative Procedures Act. It was set out 50 years ago about how they do it. They put it out to public comment. They get for X many days, they get comments, they think for, then they do another thing, they propose this. It's this very kabuki dance system. They can skip that under one circumstance, if they get a federal judge to sign off on it. They got a federal judge to sign off on it in April 2020.
In like Guam or something? Or
Emmett Sullivan.
You're kidding me.
You know who that is?
Yeah, he was the one who oversaw Michael Flynn's case.
Correct. The only guy in history who would not accept the DOJ. There were no charges anymore.
He's a black guy, right? Northern Virginia, I think he oversees.
D.C.
Right?
is his yeah. court. D.C. Yeah, okay. District Court. He signed off on that. And so the post office wiped out all of it, played that
game. That's unbelievable.
It's Emmett Sullivan signed off. So we've just come up against things like that. But we're getting through. Well, it's turned out, people, have you heard about the Tennessee error yet? This is an acknowledged thing in Williamson County, Tennessee. Some gal just using Post-it notes discovered that they were feeding in 180 ballots and they'd get sort of 70 votes out of it or 80 votes. And she knew that something was happening. So they unplugged it. They got the state in to run an investigation. The state determined that out of 17 ballot counting machines in the county, 8 of them had this error. They called in the federal government. The federal government came, couldn't get to the bottom of it. They called Dominion. Dominion couldn't get to the bottom of it. They ended up writing what's called a root cause analysis that says we can't find it. This error, and so it's now referred to as the Tennessee error. The government has acknowledged that it produces erroneous results. And they said, well, we couldn't find it, but we came up with a patch for it. Now, that makes no sense in computer science. We couldn't find it, we came up with a patch for it.
That's false logic.
They looked in Georgia. They found it in 69 counties. They were allowed to examine the equipment. They found this in 67 of 69 counties
Wow.
have the Tennessee error. And now there's been an examination of what's called cast vote records in 9 states, and in 80% of the counties, there's gimmick. There's something going on. There's absolute proof of gimmickry.
So, I mean, if you were to say the most common and threatening form of voter fraud is what? Is it fake ballots? Is it muling? Is it machine tabulation errors, as you're talking about here?
Well, I don't think in terms of voter fraud, because that suggests it's the voters doing it.
Well, okay,
it.
So election fraud?
Election fraud.
Okay, so and I'll be more precise in the language.
Yeah, election fraud is the issue. We think that there's basically a menu of 14 different ways they use to cheat. They look at each county. They decide based on its systems. We're going to use
its vulnerabilities.
B, G, and K. And now the machine is at about 9 or 10 of the 14 require the machines. The machines will have to be gotten rid of. Can I tell you a quick Buffett story? You
know, Warren Buffett.
Yeah,
sure. Of course, the Oracle of Omaha.
The Oracle of Omaha.
Was your company a Berkshire Hathaway company?
Well, I did. I was a CEO of some of his companies.
Really? At some point, yeah. Which ones?
We were friends. They were the uniform manufacturing company, okay. Fetchheimer Brothers, and. If you were, they made police and fire.
They're going to tell me he ran his chocolate company, but yeah, continue.
No. So. I was all enamored of automation and computerizing companies, and he had me study a bank out in Long Island, Long Beach, California. And I think it was called the Bank of Long Beach. And he told me to look this up and look at the expense ratios and stuff. It was the most efficient bank in America. And I went out and looked, and it was these two long, this long hallway and these two old guys at the end, 92, 93 years old it was like Ebenezer Scrooge and Marley up there on this raised platform. And there was not a computer in the bank, and they ran it like a 1910 bank. And it was the most efficient bank in America. No computers. The idea that we have computerized our election systems and that has made them more efficient or faster or something is we could go back to pencil and paper. Do as we have been teaching the rest of the world for 60 or 70 years, how to run an election, and you get the elections counted, it's transparent, and by 3 hours after the polls close, the whole nation would have its answer. That's how they do it in Burma. That's how we've taught other places how to do this. And it's only we have strayed so far from our own principles.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. To listen to the entire episode, including some of my conversation with Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, go to charliekirk.com and follow the members tabs. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.